Hi, today is July 24th, 2022. I'm Todd Agasawara. This is the Movies Podcast. What is it? 417. Hawaii wow. Techies Edition number 4. The good Dr. John Westfall is not here. He's on a super secret mission. But I have a good longtime friend, Sterling Yee, with me. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, quite a few years.
And oddly enough, we have both worked. We have worked at the same place twice, but not at the same time.
Right.
Non-contiguously. Mm-hmm. but any rate, we've known each other a long time. And I think Sterling is probably the first person I call after an Apple announcement.
And then I get to make things up, right?
And it's like, what are you going to buy anything? Why are you going to buy that right. one?
Yeah.
But anyway, but we talk about more than just Apple things. And
I think when I first met you, you were president of the local Linux.
Was I?
User group. Yeah.
Was there such a thing? I don't even remember.
Well, I remember going to it. I went, oh, who's this guy, Todd Agasawara?
Maybe I was just speaking at it. I was probably just speaking at it. More likely because, you know me, I'm not a joiner. But but in any case, today we're going to be talking about a non-Apple thing. But before we get started, so Sterling, I know you have been upgrading your gadget toolkit, mostly with Apple stuff, over the last year or so. What's some of your favorite newish stuff, you know?
My favorite newish stuff?
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I really like the AirPods. I've been using them now for over a year.
Yeah.
I really like it. I've traveled with them. They work really, really well. They suppress sound really, really well. The only problem I have, and I think it's the same problem you have, is that they don't fit very well, and they will fall out after a while.
Yes.
And the worst experience I had was I was in an airplane, and I went to use the bathroom. I didn't take them off.
Oh, no.
And it fell out, and
oh, no.
I tried it. Yeah, I caught it just before it went down the down into the toilet. Yeah, yeah. So after that, I take them off before I walk around in an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So other than that, it's been working really well. However, a couple of weeks ago, I saw at Costco they were having a sale for this thing called a Skull Candy, and it looked functionally worked just like the AirPods. And so I looked at them. They were $50, way, way cheaper than I think it was $300 that I paid for my AirPods. So I decided just to buy them. I was going on a trip, so I decided to take them with me. They synced up really easily. They got the noise cancellation. You can, forward and back if you've got music tracks going. Yeah. It works with movies and everything. And the best news is they don't fall out. They fit extremely well.
And these are in-ear. Yeah. They don't have like a earlobe loop or anything like that, right?
No, yeah, they're in-ear just like the AirPods.
Wow. That's amazing because... Yeah. I have, like you said, I have the AirPods Pro. They will fall out. I mean, if I'm just sitting like we are now, recording a podcast, it's not a problem. But if I walk around, it's going to fall out within 5 minutes.
Right. Or if you chew something, right?
Yeah. And I also bought another one I really like that I bought with a Prime Day sale last year, 2021. I bought the Echo Buds 2, I think. Which actually fit better than AirPods Pro, sound pretty good. They don't have fancy things like spatial audio, but they sound pretty good. And it works with multiple devices, like the AirPods, so it's really great. Mm-hmm. Like other Bluetooth headsets, you basically pair it one and you're kind of done. But
right.
They fall out too. It's just it takes about 8 minutes instead of 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I flew the entire 5 hours to California. And it didn't fall out at all.
Oh.
So these Skull Candies are really, really good.
Yeah. And do they have noise cancellation and other?
Yes, it's got noise cancellation. You can, by clicking on one of them, you can fast forward. You can turn it off. You can, I mean, it doesn't have all the bells and the whistles that the Apple one has. Like, you can't go and do Find My, that kind of thing.
But it is $50, so. if you lose them, you don't feel as bad.
Exactly. Actually, you know what made me feel bad? What? I decided, you know, I'm going to take one and just leave it at the office, you know? So I went back to Costco yesterday. Yeah. They don't have them anymore. Gone. Sold out. Yeah.
That's the thing about Costco, right? When you buy stuff, there's no guarantee you'll be there if you go back even 2 days later. That's for sure.
Yeah, or even later that afternoon.
Oh, you went back later that afternoon?
No, I've heard stories like that.
Now, let me ask you. I know you bought an M1 MacBook Air. Are you considering? I am considering buying an M something, M1, M2, Air, not Air, iPad Pro or something, just to get some of the new features in iPad OS 16. But I need to see the price.
I haven't really thought about it, not for the iPad, because I have an Air 2, iPad Air 2, and it's working extremely well for me. You know, I got the pencil and I have a little keyboard, and if I'm just doing something, you know, that doesn't require a lot of heavy computation, it's better than taking my laptop with
me. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
So I haven't really thought about doing that.
Okay.
The one thing that I'm thinking about is that new that MacBook Air with the
M2. Really?
But I'm not sure, because I'm hearing from, you know, a lot of these YouTube videos that at the low end, they're actually slower than the M1. I mean, that just kind of sounds crazy to me.
Yeah. They're more expensive, the base price.
Yes. But they're saying that, you know, if you really want to get it to scream, and it will, it'll move really, really quickly. But you've got to have 16 gigs of RAM. You've got to have at least 512. Storage.
Yeah, that's an interesting problem, you know.
And that takes you up to about 1600.
Yeah.
My M1 is working just fine.
Right. You know, and I don't think either of us are videographers, you know, editing an hour of video a day. So,
yeah,
you know, it's,
if you're just, doing web stuff and you're doing Microsoft Office, you know, it's just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah, so I am, you know, I guess it'll be another couple months. Well, maybe not. Yeah, September probably, right? Or October, before we see a new iPad. So I guess I'll make up my mind when I see the price and
how
painful it is.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like, you know, I bought the MacBook Air M1 when it first came out. And it is great, you know, although it's funny, you know, the one feature I used to make fun of MacBook Pro users, and I have a 2019 MacBook Pro, is before I got one myself, I used to make fun of the touch bar, which I said, you know, gimmick. I really like it. In fact, I'm using the 2019 MacBook Pro right now to record this podcast, and I'm looking at the little toolbar at the top, and go, I like that touch bar. I miss it when I use an Air. But I'm looking forward to iPad OS 16, but it doesn't have all the bells and whistles if you don't have a M1 based iPad. So,
You know, the FOMO, transition is here, right? Yeah,
fear of missing out, you know. All right, now. One of the things that one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, well, two reasons I wanted to talk to Sterling. Reason number one is I haven't talked to him in like forever, and despite the fact we live what do you think, 3 miles apart?
3 miles, yeah, if that.
We live like 3 miles apart, and I don't think I've seen him since the pandemic. But
I see you online.
We see each other online for sure. But he has been traveling, and he went to a very interesting field trip the other week for what was it for? Was it for one of your
American Lung Association?
American Lung Association meeting. So where did you guys go, and how did you get in there?
Okay. Well, you know, let me take you back a bit. I've been involved with the American Lung Association for, I think, at least 30 years now as a volunteer. Wow. You know, I had grandparents and other relatives die of lung cancer. That just made sense to me. And, you know, I've enjoyed you know, doing a lot of the advocacy things that they do. And so I started with the local, you know, chapter, which is in Honolulu. And, you know, I kind of rose up through the ranks. And then there was a merger, and they merged a lot of the close proximity chapters together. And we ended up joining the what's known as the Pacific West. So it includes Hawaii, Alaska, California, and basically the West Coast, including, I believe, Montana and Idaho. And so I did that for quite a few years, and I actually termed out, and I sat out for about 2 years, and then they called me and they asked me to sit in on the national board.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm a member of the national board, and I go to national meetings 3 times a year in Chicago. And in fact, I just went about 3 weeks ago and then came home and then did the regional meeting because I'm also a member of the regional board last week. So that was interesting. One of the people that's on the regional board that I met last November is a VP at Tesla.
Oh.
And so I got to talking to her for a while, and I was thinking of getting a new my Acura was, you know, was about 9 years old now, and I'm thinking, maybe it's time to start thinking about it. And she, of course, told me, you got to buy a Tesla.
Of course.
Okay, wait, hold on. Yeah. And she started giving me the spiel on everything. So I thought about it after the meeting, and I decided, what the heck? I'm not getting any younger. So I decided to do it. And so I called her, and she just said, well, it's like ordering an iPhone. You go online, you pick out the model that you want, and then you select all the features that you want on it. And then the price comes up, and then you put your deposit in, and it goes into manufacturing. So each car is manufactured based on what you want if you order it new.
I did not
from
know that.
Tesla. Yeah. And so I did that, and I had an order number. And lo and behold, it said, you can expect your car to be delivered in October of 2022. Well, wait a minute. We're in July. You know, this was in January.
Right.
So I called her up. I said, Lori, this is not acceptable. And she goes, yeah, we are really constrained. You know,
yeah.
She goes, let me see what can happen. And I don't know what she did. I won't bring it up to her because I know politically it might be kind of rough. But I got an email and it said, congratulations, your car is going to be delivered.
It's good to have friends in high places.
I guess, although she will never say she had anything to do with it.
Yes. It was all luck. Really it was all luck, Sterling. Yeah.
Yeah. And as luck had it, my daughter, Lauren, that lives in Seattle, was pregnant, and she gave birth. So my wife and I said, oh, we got to go up and visit her. And, of course, it's scheduled at the time the car is supposed to be delivered. So I called Tesla, and they said, okay, well, you're going to give up your delivery, you know, and we'll try to slip you in. Yeah, and I went, oh, my God, you know, this is not good.
No,
let me take a few steps back. As I just before about a month before the car was supposed to come in, I decided I'm just going to do the trade-in, you know, because they will take a trade-in. And so I traded in my Acura. They made me take a picture of the odometer, and I guess they looked it up on Carfax, and they came back and they said, congratulations, we're going to give you 11.5 for it. And I went, wonder what that is. So I went to Acura, and Acura, of course, wants me to turn the car in so that I can get a new Acura.
Right.
And they were willing to give me 12.5 for it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, what's happening here?
That's pretty good for a 9-year-old car or whatever.
Yeah, not for $1,000, just do it with, you know, Tesla.
Yeah.
Of course, when I canceled the order and had to get rescheduled, they come back and Tesla tells me, your valuation of your trade-in is over a month old. You're going to have to get it revalued. So we're going to have to resubmit. Yeah. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get screwed here. This is it, right? So I go through the process. And he came back and they said, congratulations, we're going to give you 15.
Oh, what?
I know, that was really interesting. And of course, you know, the price of the car is locked in now because I, you know, put the deposit down. So that was just a windfall. So that was really good. So yeah, finally, you know, I did get the car. I got it in June. So
yeah.
I've had it maybe about 2 months now. So yeah. it's been really good. Now, on the other hand, okay, going back to the story, at the American Lung Association, Lori arranges the next regional meeting to be at the Tesla headquarters in Fremont.
Nice.
Yeah, and so I said, okay, definitely I'm going to the meeting, right? So last weekend I flew to Fremont, we had the meeting, and it was at the Tesla factory, and I won't bore you with the American Lung details because there were a lot of things that we did. But after the meeting at about 3 on Friday, mm-hmm. she arranged to have us go out, and we all got to drive a new Tesla.
Wow!
And you know, yeah,
but you already have a new Tesla, so
I already have one. So I was just going along, and there were a couple of people from Hawaii. I don't know why, but they were afraid of the car, didn't want to drive it, but they wanted to ride it. So I said, okay, I will drive it. You guys can ride, and so that's what we did. And then a few select people were able to go out to the racetrack. Right. Tesla has a racetrack on their property.
Nice.
And so that's where they test the cars out. And so I didn't go, but about 6 of them went. And I remember about an hour later, they all came back, and man, they were blue in the face. One woman looked like she was about to throw up.
Oh,
how was it? He goes, oh my God. You know how violent it is when you go out on a racetrack?
And I do not know that answer since I have never done that, but I can imagine it's pretty intense.
And most of them were MDs, you know, so they were talking about, you know, your human body's not used to all the G forces, you know, and
these are MDs talking.
Why they're feeling sick. So I, you know, just kind of take it, you know, in stride. But some of the things that I learned in Fremont, their property sits on 370 acres in Fremont.
Wow.
And the factory itself is 5.3 million square feet.
Wow.
And I think they've since doubled it. Elon decided a few years ago he needed more space. So they have about 20,000 to 25,000 employees on site. Interestingly enough, the property was first created by General Motors in 1962.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And they were using it to make, I think, like the El Camino, or you know, some of the
power cars
that they had.
Or no, El Camino was it wasn't a power car. It was like a truck. Yeah,
small truck. Yeah, and so they used it until 82, and then in 83. They entered an agreement with Toyota, and Toyota came in because they were selling so many cars in the United States, and of course the tariffs were just killing the prices. And so they felt that by making it domestic, you know, they would be able to lessen the prices of the cars. And so they actually created Toyotas in there from 83 to 2009.
Wow.
And I think, a lot of the local made Toyotas came out of Fremont.
Yeah.
And then Elon bought it in 2010 to make, I guess, his Model S at the time. That was the first model.
Expensive one.
Yes, the expensive one. So I I was able to, last weekend, I was able to tour the factory. And boy, that was an interesting tour. You go on this little train, and it takes you around, you know, where all the, you know, the parts of the cars are being made. And literally, you know, you're looking at a 10 million square foot factory. At one end, you see rolls of steel going in, some rolls of aluminum. And, you know, I don't know how many miles at the other end of the building, you see cars coming out. So it's really interesting. They, Elon doesn't believe in middlemen. He believes in full vertical integration. And as much as possible, he tries to make everything. So there are, I must have seen at least 2,000 different robots, you know, going through the plant.
Yeah.
Some of these robots were 3 stories high.
Wow.
And they did things like cut the sheets of metal to make, say, hoods or door panels, and actually press them, you know, and you could see these door panels coming out, and they were being stored on the side. Then they got moved down, you know, and of course, they actually end up in creating a body, but they're not attached. Mm-hmm. And this robot just holds all the pieces together, and it gets dipped into the, you know, I guess a prep thing, and then it gets painted, and then the car gets put together. There's a one area where they make their own seats, you know, and that vegan leather that they use to cover the seats, you know. They make batteries there. They make the motors there. It's incredible to see the amount of vertical integration that they've put in there. And
Were you able to see the process from beginning to, I mean, not like one car going through, but all the different processes while you're in the factory?
A lot of them, not all of them.
Not all.
I didn't, you know, go through the painting, because that gets, you've got to have a good breathing apparatus.
You probably got to be in a bunny suit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And you see them walking around or driving around in a bunny suit.
Yeah.
I saw how they were putting the motors together, and it's just astounding. The Tesla motor that powers the car is about the size of a watermelon.
No way.
And and so the dual motors have 2 of these, one in the front, one in the back.
Right.
The regular model just have one of them, and it's in the back.
Wow.
But all of these motors put out, I don't know, 300-400 horsepower. It's just
amazing.
Mind-boggling to see what these electric motors do. You know, of course, they talked about, you know, all the technical things about what makes an electric motor, and why,
right,
you know, why theirs seems to work better than anybody else's. And you take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
But,
right,
you know, the fact of the matter is they're out there. They're out on those racetracks, and they're doing 150 miles an hour. They don't have transmissions.
Turning board members green.
Goes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just kind of crazy. But it was really interesting. So I, you know, asked a couple of questions. So I asked them about the vertical integration, and they said, oh, yeah, it includes IT also.
Oh,
I
wow.
said, really? She said, we, with the exception of Microsoft, Adobe, and some of the CAD things,
right,
their IT staff creates everything, including wow. all the APIs to tie the design through the manufacturing of the car to the accounting. I mean, just crazy. And so when you walk into the area where they're doing the engineering, you just see a sea of engineers with, you know, multiple monitors. In the middle of it, there is a booth of 4 people with their own computers, and it's the HR help desk. And it's always manned 24/7 because
wow.
the plant runs 24/7.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Next to it was another 4 booths, and it was the IT help desk.
Huh.
And it was always manned, and
right.
it is also 24/7.
I can't see that.
Yeah, and basically Elon's philosophy is, somebody is having a problem, you got to solve it now.
Yeah.
It's not like I can get an email that says, okay, let's meet next week sometime.
And, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He believes you got to take care of it right away.
So, that's good.
I mean, everything. I think even including their CRM, they created, because
really?
It ties in.
That's surprising.
Because it ties into their manufacturing.
Yeah. But it kind of, I just find it interesting because, you know, it seems like it's outside of their core competency, and, you know, it takes away from their resources to have, you know, a whole team
exactly.
doing something, nothing to do with their battery or their car. And I think, I don't know if it was Elon Musk himself or somebody else at Tesla who once said, Tesla is a battery company that builds cars around the batteries.
Probably true. I mean, they continue to experiment with the the components that go into it. I think some of the new ones are going to be based on sodium, and you know, they're trying to get away from the lithium. But the other thing that I was shocked at, and we saw there piles of batteries, and that don't work, and they were in these big piles that they were ready to recycle. And then they kind of showed us what they do. They chop them all up into pieces, and they go through some process, and they extract out each of the elements, from the cobalt to the aluminum to the steel to lithium, and they recycle all of that. And
Hey, before we get too far, I just wanted to say that, you know, Sterling and I are recording this over Zoom, and I'll relate the story why in a minute, but we've got 7 minutes left because I only have a free Zoom account, which I just created for this podcast.
Oh, okay.
But
sorry about that.
No, not at all. It's funny, you know, because I have had problems with other friends who couldn't get on Microsoft Teams, which is not unusual. Microsoft Teams is not known for its consumer friendliness. You know, on the consumer side. It's not known for its friendliness on the enterprise side either. But at any rate, I have a rant on LinkedIn about that. But, and then we tried, what did we try? We tried FaceTime. And then we got nothing but echoes. So I gave up on that after many, many tries. We tried Google Meet and we had no echoes, but we had no sound either. So that didn't work. And then finally we said, well, let's fall back to Zoom. But as I mentioned a minute ago, you know, this is I only created my account for the first time today. I have used Zoom at work, but you know, I've never used it personally, I think, and at least not originated. And so I created an account, and it has been working fine. So yay Zoom, thank you for working where nothing else did for Sterling and me. And I have a story to relate to you, not as dramatic as your Tesla trade-in. But, you know, so I have a Google Pixel 4a phone in addition to my iPhone. And I thought, well, you know, the 6a was just announced for pre-order. So I said, self, maybe you should upgrade. It's been 2 years or 3 years or whatever it's been. And they have a trade-in for my 4a. So I went through the link that I got via email and says, well, you can get up to $300 and we'll throw in the first generation Google Buds, whatever they're called. Not the new version 2, but, you know, still a good deal, right? A free Bluetooth headset, they'll fall out of my ears. and so I said, oh, okay, you know, that sounds interesting. And the Pixel 6a is only $450 list. I mean, you know, their price, not list, but their price. And so if I got up to $300, that's a really good deal. But then I said, self, you know, you already are a Google Fi customer. Why don't you go through your Google Fi account and simplify everything? And so I did, except they don't offer the free Air Google Pixel Buds. And they said, oh, you can get up to $95 trade-in for the exact same Pixel 4a. So my story is the opposite of yours. It got worse.
Oh, boy.
So I'm debating now if I need a new Pixel at all since my old one works fine. But at any rate, hey, Sterling, with 4 minutes left, I just want to thank you for putting up with all the shenanigans.
Oh, no,
the various,
you're welcome.
I know when I called you up the other day and you said, hey, do you want me to come over? And he said, no, we'll just do it over the web. You know, it would have been easier if you had driven over.
Oh, 3 miles, Todd, 3 miles.
plus with your battery operated car. So, you know.
Right. Yeah.
No dinosaurs were harmed.
But... No, we could have had rabbits too, you know.
But at any rate, thank you so much, Sterling.
Oh, you're welcome.
For being on yet another Hawaii Techies. Is this 4 or 5? I can't remember. I think this is 4. It's been a lot of fun. I'm hoping to get more friends on over the next couple of weeks as summer wends on. But thank you much.